Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Last time we talked about in the mountain of the sermon by Jesus Christ, we were discussing the treasures in heaven, that one should keep their treasure in heaven, the place where no one can reach, no thieves, No smugglers or nobody who play that they cheat you in your investment. None of those things happen in heaven. Heaven is under control of God. God's presence is in heaven. It's no thieves. No one can enter in heaven. In Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 19, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. We always wanted to think about our life in the earth, our children, our family, so we need to save. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus in talking in general that if you have treasures, it is the best place to keep, a best place to invest. Like if we invest in heaven, you will definitely have rewards for what you invest in heaven. But store up you for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That we are having a mindset that where we keep our money, if our money is in stock market or if our money is in a big bank, and the richest people always have to worry about their money. But people have nothing to store for tomorrow or invested in the banks or in the stock market or any other places. They do not have to worry about it. So if we have things in the earth, it's always a worry. Also, when people have lot, they don't want to leave the place. See, God expects us going to heaven, eternity with Jesus Christ and God. And here, if we spend all of it, we spend everything in the earth, but we do not save for anything for tomorrow, that's also not good for us, because we shouldn't worry about tomorrow, but at the same time that we need to be aware that we need to save for ourselves as well. So saving is one thing, and also investing in the kingdom of God is another thing. So we have to save. Apostle Paul said that one who does not save for his family is not careful about their family. So we need to save and cover for our family as well. Now, the time Jesus talked about this is a time that it was a different time also. Now, let's say Jesus coming tomorrow. We don't have to have anything here. We should get rid of everything. Now, the point is we will have to make a good balance between the heavenly kingdom and also our life in our earth. So, and next thing he says, your eye is the lamp of the body. Your eye, our eye directs us where we're supposed to go. So we have to be, if we are good, our eyes are good, your whole body will be also have the light. But your eyes are bad, if the whole body will be full of darkness. See, what a wonderful gift God has given us, that we are able to see, we are able to have a light in our life just because we have a physical eyes in our body. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Only a blind man person can only understand how that difficult that life is going life is. So we have our eyes that we have light and we are able to see the whole thing. So what that means is we have to use our eyes as a light for our lamp, for our body. It has to be our proper our guidance. It's the one to guide us in our life, so that we have to have a direction in our life. But we need to know, Jesus is saying that if how bad it will be if we don't have the light. So the next thing Jesus talk about is no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, for he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, this is what Jesus is talking about. Our direction of our eyes, which means we have to be deciding and we have to foresee, we have to see, understand where we are looking, what we are looking, what we are, where we are saving, where is our goal, what's our goal, where is our eternal presence, where we are going to be eternally. See, our life is not temporary, but the life is temporary in the earth, that our life is permanent with God. We will be permanently with God in heaven, which means that we are not talking about the big theology of being in heaven for 7 years and then Jesus returns with the saints and the angels down to the earth. Well, that's an eschatology part of the theology. Eschatology means the future, what will happen in the future after we go to heaven. So Bible teaches that we are talking about just the time we are looking forward to be with Jesus. What we are talking about when we will be in heaven, all the time we are talking about is we will be with God and Jesus. That's what we are looking at. So heaven is, which is what will come down to the earth after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the heaven from heaven will come down to the earth, and the earth and heaven become one. That's what our belief from the book of Revelation, a new heaven and earth, right? In these passages, Jesus is simply referring to our simple life in the earth when we are here, where we have to have a good look at our future. We should look at our future in with God, rather than we have a permanent residence in the earth. We have a permanent residence only for a short time, until we die in this earth, or until Christ return, our life is temporary here. So some people have 60 years, 70 years, or 80 years, maybe some have 100 years or more, but we have only temporary time in this planet earth. So that's why he mentioned about the eye, that the eye direct your body the same way our spiritual eyes, we should be directed towards God's direction. That is what is eternally, that's what we have to be looking for. No one can serve two masters, which means you cannot serve money and God at the same time, because God is full of love and mercy and everything. That you love the money more than God, that means you are only for this earth, you are not with your life, you are looking towards with living with God. See, the man was created to be with God forever in the Garden of Eden. That was the main principle behind humanity. Humanity is not free from God. Yes, we are free from Satan. We are free from devil. We are free from our sins. We are free from our difficulties, problems, health issues, we will be beautifully, wonderfully living with God the same way Adam and Eve lived with God in the Garden of Eden before the sin. Before they committed the sin against God, they were with God, and they were with God forever. There was a constant communication between human beings and God. Some people do not think about God at all. They think that they are all by themselves. They don't even have to worry about God. But yes, God is your in charge. You cannot get away from God, because he will get you no matter where you go. He is in charge. He is the owner of your body. You basically are his child. A father and child can never separate. Never separate. I'm not saying that physically doesn't happen in the earth, but in eternally, the Creator, the Father, and his children has to be together. See, nobody wanted to separate from their fathers. Now, when the children get older, they try to get away from the father because they are looking for more freedom. So basically, between God and humanity, right, the same concept that exists between a father and a son in the earth, but a lot of times the father is waiting, but the son never comes. The son need to be, the father want to bless his son, father want to give it to his son, but the sons are in the world wandering with temporary entertainments. Now this is what happened in the world, but that's not supposed to be happening. They should be living together. Now in the ancient of time, we study the history of Abraham. We can read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 9, it says, Abraham by faith lived in the tents with his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. They lived together as long as they were, they were alive. Until Abraham and Isaac were alive, they were living in tents together. So being with their fathers and the grandfathers is a blessing. Now, we have to have our God as the number one in our life. God is our Father. He is the number one. The number two is our spouse. And the number three, our children. Number four, our other family members. Which also include the church after that. Now, some people think the church is the number one. No, your family is number one. Your family. God wants you to serve your family first. Your pastor must also serve his family first, and also then his church. That does not, you are discriminating the church. Yes, you are not just born to be a pastor for the church only. You are born to be a pastor for your family as well. So every man need to love their spouse and then their children and their relatives and the church and the community service come after that. Praise God. So, but priority is God. You cannot serve God and the money at the same time. See, the money is given by God. Every good gifts come from heaven. Every good gifts. But the good gifts are given to you. You did not make it. Yes, you work for it. Yes, you're right. But it's a reward for your labor. But at the same time, guess if you don't have the job? Guess if you don't have the opportunity? All right? So the God provide the opportunity. God provide the job. It is God who gave you for your labor. So you must honor God first. Amen. So the next thing Jesus mentioned in his famous mountain message is that do not worry. It says in verse 25 onwards to 34 is Jesus speaking about worries. What is your worry today? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. You see, worry is the biggest problem for all the humanity. We worry about everything every single day. But Jesus is saying, can you stop worrying and just ask me? Just ask the Father and believe that He will provide it to you. See, this does not mean that you should sit around and don't do nothing. It is given to you to do some kind of job, whatever you are trained to be or whatever is available, that you must do it. But at the same time, you have to put your trust in God. If you have the faith in God, have a faith in God, then God definitely will take care of your needs because He won't dismay you. Amen. Is not life more important than food and a body more important than clothes? See? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. See, the birds of the air don't have to sow the seed or harvest. See, they eat from the land where it is available. Sometimes it's from the trees and bushes and from the earth, but other times it is from the farmer's field. The birds are eating as well, but they don't worry at all. They are given when they are asking for or when they are looking for, it is given to them. Look at the birds. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? See, if you worry, you are not going to get anything done. But you can have concern about things. But if you continue to worry about it, you're not going to make anything out of that. You can't even add an hour to your life. Because God controls the ages, the times of human life, that it is not under the control of anybody. Even each of us can control our situations. That's why we need to trust in God. In every situation of our life, we must be asking God for guidance, also believing that He will take care of our circumstances. So simply worrying about our situations is not going to help us. We must be, because we don't gain anything out of that. If we gain something, then we can say, yeah, we got something done by worrying about it, but worrying does not provide us anything at all. So you don't worry about your clothes, you don't worry about your money, you don't worry about your food. They do not labor or spin. See, the birds and the animals, they don't labor, they don't spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. You see, he's talking about the lilies of the field, the plants, very simple plants which just grow for a season and they flourish and they have flowers. They're so beautiful, and those lilies. But they don't spin, they don't work, they don't do anything. Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. See, those beautiful plants, the flowers they produce, how does they do that? Isn't that a wonder? That I often wondered why no one thinks about. See, how come a plant is producing fruits? For example, orange tree. In the season, you see a lot of oranges, but in the other times, there is no oranges in the orange tree. Now, all of a sudden, the time comes, it flowers, and it started having its little baby, tiny, tiny orange. It started growing in those flowers. Amen. How this happens? Isn't that one of the greatest miracles? That people are always looking for wonders of the world, that man-made wonders or natural wonders. But isn't that the wonders are always around us? The trees, the plants, producing apples, the apple tree, the coconut tree. That's one of another thing always we have to think about. The coconut tree, when the coconut is formed, the same way from the first the flower comes, and then when the tiny coconut started growing in there, in months and months and months it grow, and once it become a coconut that with a liquid inside of that which is so delicious to drink, right? And how does that water gets up into that coconut? And it's amazing that when you look at the tree and its where this coconut is holding the stack, you know, I forgot all the botanical names about every part of it, plants and its fruit and its flowers and everything. Basically, these are miracles. These are miracles. But we ignore these miracles. Day by day, we see it. But we ignore all of these, that God is the one who is behind all these beautiful things, wonderful things. You know, God created everything the man, humanity needed before he created Adam and Eve. He created everything, fruits and plants, trees, vegetables, and every single thing. See, the animals were not created to be eaten. No, not even animals were created to eat another animal either. Even though some world education teaches that, because they have those kind of teeth, right? That I studied zoology as well, but I can't remember all these from many, many years back, because that's not one of the topic subjects for me today. But why the lion and tiger has those kind of teeth, the canine teeth, right? The dogs, canine teeth. So the canine teeth, they're supposed to be eating flesh. That's where they have it. They got to rip it off, they say. No, of course not. No, not at all. Before Adam and Eve sinned, all the animals ate and herbs, vegetables, plants and trees, leaves of the trees and herbs and grass. That's what they were eating. Honest with you, in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, there will not be any enmity between animals and any creatures. Not even any creature will have an enmity or hatred. They wouldn't have a feeling of eating the flesh. See, the lion will eat grass and hay those days, and a little lamb will lie with a lion, right? A little baby will put his hands into the pond of a snake. So, in a hole of a snake or whatever you call it. But either case, there is no poison in the 1,000-year. Your time. All the creatures, animals go back to the way they were made, lived with Adam and Eve's garden and in the earth at the time. Everything go back to the normal way. So there will not be any enmity in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So I preached this many times in last year, a series of God's eternal plan. In that, archives in the 89.9 FM radio station archives, you can go back and listen all the messages from the past, of all the pastors' messages are there. So this is concerning what I am saying, is no one have to worry, even a lilies of the valley, they are flowering and they're beautiful, they're looking, and they were even not Solomon, even Solomon was the greatest, richest man in the planet Earth ever, and there's nobody will be as rich as Solomon will be in the future as well, that God told him, and which is true, there was no one as rich as Solomon in the past, or in the future, present, or in the future. So, Solomon, even with all the riches, he was not equal to one of these lilies of the valley, Jesus said. Okay, so, it If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will be not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. You see, if these lilies and grass and flowers of the field, they dry up in a few days or few months maximum, maybe a season, right? And also they dried up and then they were going to be burned by the farmers, usually in the olden days or in the farming countries. That's what they do. But are you not even valuable? You're valuable than those grass of the field, of those lilies of the field. See, will he not much more clothe you? See, if God can clothe means make them beautifully, create them and produce their flowers, if God does it with the grass of the field, how better he will do it for you? Because you are his child, right? You little faith, Jesus asking. See, this is all about faith. How much you trust in God, how much you believe in him. In your time of not having something, or in the time of shortage, you must believe in God and continue work towards it. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For me, for the pagans run after all these things, and you, Heavenly Father, knows that you need them. See, it's only certain kind of people, like ungodly people who does not believe in God, they are not knowing God, they are known as pagans. They worship idols and all the creations of the God, rather they worshiping God. They believe in all the false mystical beliefs, mythologies, and all kind of things, and man-created faith, man-created God, man-created events, everything they believe. But they are the ones who worry about the shortage of things, food, clothes, and shelter, and all those things. But if you are a child of God, you just ask your Father in heaven. Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you. See, first you seek the kingdom of God. You seek God, your Father. You seek God. You go to him. You spend time with him. You try to listen to him. You hear his message. He's always talking to you, but you are too busy with your world issues and problems, and you're not hearing anything from you, because you are not standing with him. You are not waiting for him. You want everything so fast. Just give me. I am done. Then you come back again. I want it. That's not going to work. So you must believe in God. With these words, I conclude this message.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. If you have any more questions, or if you'd like to contact me, my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.